you could own an on-air light from the Old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
You're going to give me the names and the names of their victims.
Are you threatening me?
I was doing my job.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
I am here because I care. We're going to tell this story. We're going to tell it right.
I'm hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page? We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy, and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
I'm not crazy. They control everything.
This is not just Boston. It's a whole country. It's a whole world.
They knew, and they let it happen. It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us.
That's the trailer for the Academy Awards Best Film in 2015, Spotlight. Now, the Academy Awards has new standards that it's going to apply to the Best Film category. They are, I guess you could just simply call them, racial and gender orientation quotas. Either you have a lead actor who is a minority or an oppressed group or something like that, or your director has to be in that category, or maybe a certain number of people who are working on the film have to be in that category. They'll go into place here in a couple of years, but it seems as though already Hollywood is imposing those standards on itself without them even being in existence. Now, we're going to be going through some of those films that were up for Best Picture in the last 10 years. I want you to notice how many fail this test of inclusiveness and how many are already conforming to these inclusiveness quotas. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about applying the Oscars' new Best Picture standards to past winners. Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
First of all, just introduce us again to the standards that have been put in place by the Academy for the Best Picture nominees or consideration.
Yeah, this is for eligibility. So going forward, in order to be eligible, you're going to need to meet some new criteria. And I'll use the word new kind of in quotation marks, and we'll talk about that as we go. But there are four different standards. We talked about three of the standards, but standard A is about on-screen representation, including themes and narratives and like the actors and things like that. That's the standard A. Standard B is about the creative leadership and the project team, the people involved in making the film. So that could be like the director, the cinematographer, composer, costume designers, all of that kind of stuff, editors, writers, that kind of thing. And then standard C is about the industry access and opportunities. So that would be where they can have paid apprenticeships and internships, opportunities available on a particular film that then can make the film eligible. And then there's also standard D, and we didn't really talk about this, but that's audience development. So that's essentially in the area of marketing, publicity, distribution, those kinds of things. And what these standards are asking for is to have more Hispanic, Asian, Black, / African American, Indigenous, Native American, Alaskan Native, Middle Eastern, North African, Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander or other underrepresented races or ethnicities to be visible in either the final product or in the production of films or the marketing of films, including also a focus on women, or LGBTQ related things, or people with disabilities of some kind, physical disabilities, deafness, hardness of hearing, different things like that. So creating an opportunity for people to be a part of things, this is the intent, is to make it easier for these groups of people to be visible in film and be involved in the production of film.
How closely do these standards comport with the actual demographic reality in the United States?
Well, I think this is maybe an interesting thing for everybody to think about, because it gets down to like this kind of where are you coming from? Do you want the films and television and things in media to represent what actually is the case? Or is this a case of maybe social engineering where you want to represent it the way you would like it to be? So is this based on reality, or is it based on fantasy, or is it based on where you would like it to go? So when you think about this push to ramp up the inclusion of all of these different groups and individuals and people in this whole process, then you have to ask yourself, is it even accurate? Does it have fidelity to actual numbers? So anybody can go look up data from data.census.gov and it for the United States, and it has information about how actually the demographics shake out. And generally speaking, like, I'm not a statistician or, you know, a sociologist, so, you know, with this as my specialty, but looking at all of this information, what you end up seeing is roughly between 70 and 75% of the population is Caucasian, depending on if it's single race, one race in terms of the labeling. And then also for African American, it's between 12 and 14%, depending on how you shake that out. So these are the numbers from 2019. So this is the 1 year estimate data profile. And then, of course, Hispanic and Latino is a little more complicated, because if you're Spanish heritage, you could be counted as Caucasian, but then you may also be counted as Hispanic. So there's a bit of a Venn diagram thing kind of going on with that. But what you get is, like, for instance, let's just pick one. So let's say Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander, they make up 0.4% of the American population. It's very tiny. If you all of a sudden make a, for want of a better term, kind of a quota to include these people in all of these movies, well, if three or four studios decide that they all want to make a movie like that, I mean, that's their, if they think there's a market for it and they want to do it, they're free to do it. But if they start doing that, then that can kind of start to skew people's opinions about how many Hawaiian Pacific Islanders there are in the United States. And I think we see this because they'll do additional surveys to gauge people's opinions about what they think these numbers are based on their viewing habits. Like, they'll say, well, what percentage of the population is African American? And it skews way up higher than 14%. Also, you know, when it comes to LGBTQ stuff, because there's an overrepresentation of it within media and television and film, that actually what happens is people get asked about it and the number is much higher than the number actually is. And I think that that's kind of part of all of this. I hope that kind of gives us a solid ground to carry on with this conversation.
And when it comes to LGBTQ representation, and I think we probably put our cards on the table, that's what this is really all about in terms of what the Oscar new standards are about. It's not just slightly overestimated by the average American. It's orders of magnitude overestimated by the average American. Why do you think that is?
If you have a TV show with 10 characters and two of them have to be from the LGBTQ background of things, that makes it look like 20% of the population is LGBTQ, which is, again, is this kind of order of magnitude thing. So I think that's kind of part of this. So when you start to bring in these quotas like this, you start to create misinformation. And we could do this in a couple different ways. So one way is, let's put the best construction on it. So we'll use the Eighth Commandment and say, maybe this is coming from a genuine desire for people to have their stories being told. And that's fine. Everybody should be able to have their story be told. And the other part of it is that it's Hollywood, and there's a business side of this. If they think that that's marketable, they're going to try to go for it because they want to get return on their investments. But the other part of it is maybe there's more to it than that, because there could be a social justice component that's also a part of it, where because of a feeling as though there's injustice, then they want to skew another way. And in the process, what could also be happening and what seems to be happening is that reality and the truth is being kind of run under the wheels of the bus as things go forward. Really, it boils down to just ideologically, what direction would you go with it? Is it about making changes, or is it about representing things as they are? I think that that's two different points of view to approach this.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're applying the Oscar's new best picture standards to past winners. We'll do that starting in 2010, right after the break. You could own an on-air light from the Old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy. 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're applying the Oscars' new best picture standards to past winners. So, Ted, take us back to 2010. That's where we can begin here. Tell us about the pictures that were considered for Best Picture and the one that won, and how they would have fared under the new Best Picture standards.
Okay, so the picture that won is a movie called The King's Speech. Now, this is a movie that would have passed because it's about a severe speech impediment that Queen Elizabeth's father had. He didn't expect to be king, and he ended up becoming king and was thrust into a position of public speaking. So that would fit under that physical disabilities or deaf, hard of hearing, that kind of area. I think you could make a case for this, right? So that's one that would pass. 127 Hours, that's a film by Danny Boyle. That would fail. It's kind of a mountain climbing movie. There's a movie called Black Swan by Darren Aronofsky. This one would be a pass. This is the ballerina film. It has Natalie Portman in it. So the main characters are women, and that's something that is required for it to pass. David O. Russell did the film The Fighter. That would fail. It doesn't have a diverse enough cast. It's more, really it's a full Caucasian central character kind of film, and he himself is Caucasian. Inception, this is by director Christopher Nolan. That would fail. It's not a film that matches everything that is in this. But The Kids Are All Right is a film that was also up for the award. And that's a pass because the central characters are women. Plus, they're in a lesbian relationship. And it's directed by a woman as well. So that passes on a number of different points. The Social Network, about the development of Facebook, would fail. That's a David Fincher film. Toy Story 3 would fail. That's computer-generated film. I don't think they get points for being toys. True Grit could pass. That could pass. That's Mattie Ross is kind of the central character, really. So at least in the position of cold lead within that film. Of course, the directors would fail because it's Ethan and Joel Cohen. And these standards don't favor Jewish people, per se. That's not considered ethnic diversity as far as this the lists that are provided by the Academy right now. And then Winter's Bone would pass. It's the lead character is a woman, and it's a female director. So there's 2010 for you.
So we should point out that while at least a plurality of the contenders would have passed Standard A, almost all of them would have failed Standard B, according to the Academy.
Yeah, like, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them would pass Standard A, 2 of them would pass Standard B for 2010.
Let's talk about 2011. What films were up for consideration and how many of them would have passed the standards?
The winner was a film called The Artist, which was a silent film. That was kind of a quirky, unique thing to have a silent film win Best Picture in 2011. That one would have failed. The Descendants, George Clooney is in that one. It's an Alexander Payne film. That would fail. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close would pass. I think it would pass because it's focused on autism, although the director, Stephen Daldry, would not pass. The Help is a story that focuses on African American. So this is it would fit in the category of racial group. It would pass on the storyline and the actors, but it would not pass on the director, Tate Taylor, who's a Caucasian guy. Hugo would fail. That's a Martin Scorsese film, kids movie. Midnight in Paris would fail. That's a Woody Allen film. And then also from that year, Moneyball would fail. And The Tree of Life by director Terrence Malick would fail. And War Horse by director Steven Spielberg would fail as well. So 2011 is really the worst year of these 10 years in terms of what would pass or fail.
And I would just note that we're talking about some pretty big name directors that would have been passed over according to Standard B for consideration because they didn't fit the ethnic or sexual orientation category.
Yeah, and I think the thing, too, to remember is that dial it back like 30, 40, 50 years, and being Jewish would have counted as an ethnic background, or being Irish or Italian would have counted as being an ethnic director, right? But apparently times are changing, right, for this kind of thing.
Let's talk then about 2012.
Okay, so 2012, the film that won was Argo, and that's was directed by Ben Affleck. He was involved in that as well, acting in it. That one would fail. Even though it's kind of set in Iran, it's really not centered on like a main Iranian character, so it would fail. Amour is a European film, European language film, and that one would pass because it's about Alzheimer's and someone near the end of their life. So that would be something would fit in the disability category. Beast of the Southern Wild would pass. It's centered on a racial group. It's a film that's a black African kind of story. Plus the writer is a woman. Django Unchained, that's a Quentin Tarantino film. Now this one would probably pass because of the actors, the central actors in the film. But it wouldn't pass for Quentin Tarantino as a director in that category. Les Mis, a musical by Tom Hooper, that would fail. Life of Pi by director Ang Lee, would, it's a story kind of centered on an East, like a South Asian character. So that would be one that would pass both for the content of the story and also the director, because Ang Lee is not Caucasian. Lincoln would, I think that would fail, even though it's also about Civil War related stuff, but that the director is Steven Spielberg, so I think overall probably would not pass. Silver Linings Playbook by director David O. Russell would not pass for the director part of it, but would pass for the disability related thing because it's really about mental illness. Zero Dark 30 would pass because that's director Catherine Bigelow, so it's a woman director and also has a woman lead in the character.
That brings us to 2013.
Yeah, 2013. This is 12 Years a Slave. Now, this is the winner of that year, and we actually reviewed this film on Issues Etc. And it would pass because it's about a man who from the north of the United States who ends up kidnapped basically and put into slavery in the south of the United States before the Civil War period. And the director, Steve McQueen, is an African-American director, so it would pass on both cases. American Hustle by David O. Russell would fail. It doesn't meet any of the categories, the new standards. Captain Phillips, this is by director Paul Greengrass, so it wouldn't pass on the director, but it would pass. Basically, the supporting actor is Somalian, so it would pass for that, perhaps. Dallas Buyers Club, that's one that's focused on an LGBTQ kind of related storyline. It's about the drugs for AIDS and things of that nature, although the director would not pass. Gravity would pass. That's director Alfonso Cuarón, who's Mexican. And also it has the lead is a woman, so Sandra Bullock, so that would pass. Her, which is kind of about Joaquin Phoenix character falling in love with a computer algorithm, kind of a personal assistant kind of thing voiced by Scarlett Johansson, that would fail. And that's by director Spike Jones, so it doesn't pass on those two categories either. Nebraska would probably pass because, again, it's about, well, I think you could make a case for it to pass because it seems to be about dementia, and it's certainly about an older person and a father and a son kind of a story. But again, director Alexander Payne would not pass for the director. The Wolf of Wall Street would fail on the storyline, and also on director Martin Scorsese would fail. So, and the, I think maybe the thing to remember is that, let's say you can't, like, Martin Scorsese is going to keep making movies. So he's going to need to find ways to satisfy various standards and then also maybe make his case for why his movie should be eligible. When Oscar season starts, people try to make their case for why they should be considered for nomination for Best Picture. And this is going to be in the back of the minds of the people making the films to try to make sure that they check off enough boxes for eligibility.
I'm imagining Martin Scorsese sitting in his office, and he's considering the film he wants to make for 2021 or 2022 or however long his shooting schedule is. And he can make any movie he wants. He can write his own ticket because he's Martin Scorsese. And his aide comes in and says, well, Martin, you know, I know you want to make this gangster movie again, but it's about white Italians in the 1930s.
Right.
And you're not going to get Best Picture when you cast your, and you're already out of the running for director. So you've already got one strike against you. Is that a realistic scenario?
Kind of. I think that it's going to have an impact. The question is, does Martin Scorsese care about winning the Best Picture? Because if he decides, listen, I don't care, I just want to make the movies I want to make, then he can just go ahead and make the movies he wants to make. You know, this is what it boils down to. Like, and I think that, like, people who are getting the work, let's say, either in front of the camera or behind the camera or way behind the camera, I think they want to be getting the work because they're good at what they do and not because of X, Y, and Z on top of that. I think that's why people want to have the work. So I think it would be kind of hard if you knew that the only reason, if you had a hard time doing the job, but the only reason you got it is because you filled some sort of criteria, I think that would be challenging for a person, whether you're in front of the camera or behind the camera.
We are walking through the contenders for the Academy Awards Best Picture in past years and applying the new Best Picture standards from the Oscars to them. We'll get into 2014 next.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
The Cleaning Authority has a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. You can save $25 on a one-time clean or $25 off your first two cleans. Learn more at our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, if you live in Greater St. Louis, call 314-690-9877, 314-690-9877. Be sure to mention Issues Etc. The offer expires on September 30th. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
We're applying the Oscars' new Best Picture standards to past winners with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. guests Andrew Doss, Robert Kolb, Mark Serberg, Matt Harrison, and Gene Edward Veith have written columns in the October issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. The theme is Galatians and the Reformation. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Find out more at cph.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Ted, let's go to 2014. Who won Best Picture that year, and how would the other contenders have fared?
2014, another film that we reviewed on Issues Etc. is the movie Birdman, The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, and this is by a Mexican director, and Alejandro Iñárritu, which is always a hard name for me to pronounce, but there it is. He would pass for, in terms of the director, but the characters are all Caucasian. So he would pass in Standard B, but not in Standard A. American Sniper is by Clint Eastwood. That would fail on both accounts. I don't know if you get extra marks for being in your 90s making movies. Like I don't know if that counts, but Clint Eastwood's not a young man making movies anymore. Boyhood would fail. This is Richard Linklater. It's a very ingenious film. Like, these are all films we talked about actually on Issues Etc. And that one took over 10 years to make as far as a film. Like, they shot every year for a little bit, but it would fail on all accounts. The Grand Budapest Hotel by Wes Anderson, that would fail. The Imitation Game would probably pass because the central character played by Benedict Cumberbatch is a gay man. So that would pass, but it would fail for the director. Selma is about an African-American story, right? So that's Martin Luther King Jr. and the march there in Selma, Alabama. So that would pass. And also it's by a African-American woman director, Ava DuVernay, so that would pass on that end of things. The Theory of Everything would pass because it's a disability-related thing. This is the Stephen Hawking's film about his life, but it would fail on terms of the director. James Marsh is Caucasian. Whiplash would fail. That's the movie about the drummer in drummer school or music school, and it would also fail. Damien Chazelle would is a Caucasian director. But the other thing too is, like, I'm looking at this, and there is a point where, unless somebody is super out there and obviously open about their sexual activities, you know, you could have somebody who has a very private sexual life who may fit one of these categories as a director, but you would not know. So maybe also it could force people to be public about something that they want to keep private if they need to do that in order to be eligible. So that's kind of another peculiarity of this kind of pressure.
I'm struck there by the one that won but would have failed according to at least one of the standards, the standard for how it's cast, and that is Birdman, which I think is one of the most brilliant films that's been made in the last 10 years. And that showed the acting of two of the two greatest actors that no one expected to become the great actors that they are, Michael Keaton and Edward Norton. And not to mention cinematography in that film. All that merit goes out the window because you decided to cast Michael Keaton and Edward Norton in these two great leads instead of someone else.
I guess the thing to kind of keep in mind is that, like, for instance, if we think about, I mean, there's lots of just wonderful actors, right? So, I mean, people can do a great job. Like you can find whatever kind of actor you want, you can pretty much find. So think about the movie that Christopher Nolan just did, this movie Tenet that we just talked about. Well, he didn't require any of these guidelines and standards in order to cast John David Washington in the lead role, which is a real kind of a James Bond kind of a film in a lot of ways. And, you know, like, along the way, we've heard people saying that they would like to have James Bond be played by a black actor or things like that. It's like, well, Christopher Nolan didn't require these standards to have John David Washington in that role. And I guess you could have made Birdman with a different actor if you wanted to. But Birdman had the extra kind of quality of the fact that it's kind of playing on the fact that this character, there's a connection back to Batman, right? So having the same actor who played Batman,
yeah,
and then having him in the, like, it adds another layer of complexity and interest into the story.
Very meta, which
yeah,
a lot of people find. And I'm thinking also of the fact maybe it would have passed because the lead character is slowly losing his mind. And that yeah, might qualify under these new standards.
That might be the case. I mean, you do get a lot of films where that is part of the storyline. So maybe they might want to see where they can, like, further some of these ideas. Yeah.
Let's go to 2015.
Okay. So 2015, the film that won was Spotlight, which is a movie about investigative journalism, uncovering pedophilia in the Roman Catholic Church in Boston. And it's based on a true story. And that, of course, has an LGBTQ component to it, but it's not in a positive light, right? That's kind of part of the story in some ways. But I think that it probably would fail on both accounts because it kind of goes against the grain of the idea of this. And it's Boston, it's very Caucasian, and Tom McCarthy is, you know, would fit into the, you know, he's a Caucasian director. So I think it would fail. The Big Short, about the housing crisis and meltdown, director Adam McKay, that would fail. Bridge of Spies, that's a Steven Spielberg film about Cold War related things, that would certainly fail. It's like Tom Hanks is in that, and he wouldn't if you have him as your lead actor, you're going to fail standard A unless he's paired up with somebody or 30% of the rest of your main set of cast, you know, offset him, kind of a thing. Brooklyn, that's a focus, that's an that would fit into the ethnic group, it's an African-American story. But of course, the director would fail. Mad Max Fury Road, I'm going to say that maybe Charlize Theron is the, there's two lead actors in it, and she plays Furiosa, and I think maybe you could make a case for it passing, but director George Miller would fail. The Martian would fail. It did have a, a rather large number of racial or ethnic supporting cast members. But I think that overall, because it's such a movie focused on a central character and you spend almost all of the time with Matt Damon on the face of Mars, I think it would fail. The Revenant, that one would also fail. Although it would fail standard A, it may pass standard B because that's the same director as Birdman. So the Alejandro Iñárritu would, and he's a Mexican director. The movie called Room would pass. That's Brie Larson as this woman who's been trapped and has a kid, and she's raising the kid. She's been abducted, and that would pass because the central character is a woman. And then the writer of it, this Emma Donahue, is an openly LGBTQ writer who wrote the book and was involved in the film, you know, the screenplay. So I think that one would certainly pass.
What about 2016?
2016, we talked about the winner of this year as well, the movie called Moonlight. That passes like big time on a bunch of these standards. So the central character is an African-American. This is, he's a gay man. The director, Barry Jenkins, is an African-American man. So, I mean, like this passes on those two standards as well. Fences, that would pass also. It's focused on an African-American family. And director, the first-time director, Denzel Washington, African-American actor and now director who made that film. Hacksaw Ridge, that would fail. That's in terms of the ethnic diversity or sexual orientation of people in the lead actor roles there. And then it would also fail because the director is Mel Gibson. Hell or High Water, that one would fail. Although it does have an actor in it, it's kind of an ensemble cast. And one of the actors is a Comanche guy with a Comanche background, Jill Brigham. So he might, but it's not enough. It wouldn't pass the test. That's a story focused on Texas. Hidden Figures, that one would pass. This is about African-American women working with NASA to help with, you know, telemetry of, or like working out all of the math on things. And then the writer is a woman, Alison Schroeder. So that would help that pass in standard B. La La Land, you got like two main characters. It's the story of a man and a woman. So maybe you can make a case that it would pass because of Emma Stone as the woman in that couple. Again, director Damien Chazelle, so probably wouldn't pass for standard B. Lion would pass. This is one, again, it's a South Asian film, kind of like centered in India and Australia with a central character who's Indian. And then also the writer is from that same ethnic background and it's based on his actual story. Manchester by the Sea, which is a film about grief. It's just a phenomenal movie, really. That one, director Kenneth Lonergan, he would fail for standard B, and all of the characters, it's set in Massachusetts, so it's a very Caucasian cast. And again, like there's all sorts of people that live in Massachusetts. This is the story that they were telling. You could have told that story with different ethnicities, I suppose, as well. But that's the breakdown for 2016.
What about 2017? It looks like poor Steven Spielberg, he was lucky enough to cast a woman in his film that year. And
right.
So he would have passed. What else?
So the film that passed, or the film that the won that year is The Shape of Water. That has a woman lead in the role, and it's by a Mexican director, Guillermo del Toro. And it would also maybe pass because it's an interspecies relationship. It's very strange. It's like the creature from the Black Lagoon and this woman fall in love and kind of a thing. So there's a subversive nature to perhaps quite a bit of that. And it's couched in a kind of science fiction-y horror slash drama kind of storyline. But that's the film that won, The Shape of Water. Call Me By Your Name. This is about what we would all like see to be an inappropriate relationship between an adult male and a teenage boy. But that would fit into the LGBTQ thing. And it's also presented in a very genial, positive manner overall. And then the director of the film himself is gay. So that would pass out, like openly gay. That would pass on standard A and standard B. The Darkest Hour would fail. That's a World War II film. Joe Wright is the director. That would fail. Dunkirk would fail. These are kind of twin films from two different points of view of the same events of World War II. Christopher Nolan directed that film. That they wouldn't pass those two standards. Get Out would pass. This is a kind of a fabulous, interesting kind of horror, social thriller kind of a film focused on African-American character and really well made by this comedian, now director, Jordan Peele, who's an African-American man. So that one would pass. Lady Bird has a woman lead with Saoirse Ronan, and then with a woman director, Greta Gerwig, who's kind of part of this mumblecore movement of filmmakers. So that would pass. Phantom Thread would not pass. That's a Paul Thomas Anderson film about a guy who works in the fashion industry, and it's an intriguing film, but it wouldn't pass. The Post, this is the one you're talking about, by director Steven Spielberg. He wouldn't pass for Standard B, but Meryl Streep is one of the main actresses in the film, so that would help it up, shore it up on Standard A. Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri would pass in terms of having a lead female character, but the director, Martin McDonagh, would not pass. So again, you kind of see this year again is one where most things would be able to pass. And listen, we're only kind of getting at the surface of this. Like, I mean, if I dug deeper, I could maybe say, oh, well, this movie might pass because it has 30% of the people in all of the art departments or all of the production departments who pass the thing. So I'm just looking at the surface level without getting too deep into the weeds of insider Hollywood related information.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're applying the Oscars' new Best Picture standards to past winners. We'll go to 2018, where I believe almost all of them would have passed except one. We'll find out which one next. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, "From God Can Nothing Move Me"? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
We're applying the Oscars' new Best Picture standards to past winners with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Moving on to 2018, Ted, at least by your reckoning, all of the films would have passed the tolerance quotas except one. Which one and why not?
Yeah, this is a big year for as we're going through this list of the years, what we're doing is we're applying the standards that they have made to what they've already been making. So this is the standards they want people to achieve. And we're just looking at how have they already been doing. This isn't even looking forward to 2024 when this is all actually going to be kind of set in stone going forward. This is just looking back at what they've been up to. And whether or not they actually, you should ask yourself, are these standards even necessary? Do you need to promote these things if they're already being done? So if we look at 2018, the film that won that year is Green Book. That one is African-American man in the South. The director is not African-American. And it's also an African-American man who's gay in the South. So this is an LGBTQ+. Related one. So standard A is all tied up for that one. Then Black Panther, that is one where it gets a pass. It's a superhero Marvel movie. It fits into that racial group because it's set in Africa, a fictional place. But director Ryan Coogler is also an African-American director. Black Klansman, that one passes. This is about the guy who is an African-American police detective who infiltrates the KKK, and it's directed by Spike Lee, who is an African-American director. Bohemian Rhapsody, this is the story of Queen, right? So Freddie Mercury is LGBTQ front and center and fulfilling standard A, directed by Bryan Singer, who's a gay guy. The Favorite is a bizarre movie. This is Lanthimos, Yorgos Lanthimos is a Greek filmmaker, so he probably wouldn't pass because I don't think being Greek counts as being ethnically diverse enough. I don't think. I kind of thought maybe it did. Now I'm kind of thinking maybe it doesn't. But it does pass because it's centered on all women central characters, and there's an LGBTQ kind of lesbian storyline that's part of that as well. Roma would pass. This is another film by director Alfonso Cuarón, who's a Mexican director. And then also that it's a really a story that's a Mexican story as well, set in South Central America. Then A Star is Born. I think this gets a pass, not for the director Bradley Cooper, but for Lady Gaga, who reprises the role that Barbara Streisand had played earlier in a previous version of it as the woman involved in the story. And then the movie Vice is the one that fails. And that's the story of Dick Cheney as vice president in his life leading up to that. So that one doesn't pass on any of the standards as far as I can tell.
What about last year?
Okay, so 2019. So 2019, the film that won was this movie called Parasite, which is just a really fascinating, interesting film. And it's set in South Korea. It has a South Korean cast. It has a director who is South Korean. And it's a great movie. It was certainly one of the very best films of the year, and I really appreciated it. But it passes on both standards. It is actually a foreign language film, which they don't often have as the winner of the best picture of the year. Ford versus Ferrari, that one would fail. That's the race car driving film. Director James Mangold would not pass either. The Irishman, this is like we were saying, Irish isn't an ethnic group anymore, apparently, that would pass in terms of what they are laying out in these new standards. But director Martin Scorsese again, so this one would not pass. Jojo Rabbit, the director Taika Waititi is a New Zealander, so that kind of fits in that Polynesian kind of end of things because he has that ancestry, so maybe it passes for that. But German isn't an ethnic group. It's set in World War II. Hitler is a fictional fantasy character of the main character. This is a film that focuses on the Holocaust, but I think that still doesn't pass anymore. as far as I can tell. Joker, which is about the Batman character, it's kind of a different approach to it by this director, Todd Phillips. He's a really a comedian director, or like a comedic film director who went dark and went to the dramatic because he felt like in the current environment, you can't make good comedy anymore. But basically he would fail, and Joaquin Phoenix as Joker, as a central character, would fail. Little Women. So this is another iteration of the Little Women book. This one made into a film. This would pass because clearly all of the central characters are women. And then director Greta Gerwig, who did Lady Bird, also is the director of this one, and that would pass as a woman. Marriage Story might pass because Scarlett Johansson is kind of like about a marriage, and she's the wife character going through the divorce. Director Noah Baumbach, though, wouldn't pass. 1917, and we talked about this before, this is the Sam Mendes film. This one would fail. It's a World War One film. It doesn't have the diversity that is that they're looking for. And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood would fail. You know, this is Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio as the central actors, and then Quentin Tarantino. Like, Margot Robbie is in there, but she has very few lines, and it would be hard to say that she's the main character of the film. And then Quentin Tarantino wouldn't pass because of him being a Caucasian guy. So this is an overview of what the last 10 years have actually looked like.
So don't you think that the committee that crafted these new Best Picture standards would have at least discussed how many past winners or contenders wouldn't have met their new criteria?
Like, it's a committee, right? So they have this committee and they've been working on this. And this is where you have to wonder to yourself, are they simply codifying what has already been occurring? In which case, there's nothing new here, right? And clearly we've seen that there's plenty representation for all sorts of groups and individuals that would fit into these new standards. And that's even without digging too deeply into every single corner of the production, right? So there's that. And then the other thing is that, like, in a way, I mean, this is like Hollywood is already perceived to be liberal in a lot of ways. So this is evidence that they've already been on this track. So yeah, like what you're saying, I don't know, like if they looked at all of it, they must have thought, well, all right, let's keep this ball rolling, or we want to, like, it's this weird thing where they're trying to convince Hollywood, who's already liberal, to be more liberal in a way. Like, or I shouldn't even use the word liberal, because it's not even, there are liberals who don't like this approach to things. It's like the progressive end of Hollywood that's past, like, your average old school liberal to this whole new degree of things. They're the ones that are kind of like, seem like they're in the driver's seat pushing this further forward than it already is.
Wouldn't one of those old school liberals in Hollywood, wouldn't they at some point in that room say, what about freedom of speech? What about freedom of expression? That's what art is all about.
Yeah, well, Kirstie Alley came out. Now, she's a Scientologist, right? So imagine a Scientologist being the voice of reason. She comes out and says, hey, this is a terrible idea. You know, this is like telling Picasso what he should and shouldn't paint. Yeah, I mean, like, there is an element where Hollywood is already super inclusive. Like, people can find it's, and again, like, I think we've demonstrated that certain areas, if you want to just go by the numbers, there's already overrepresentation in certain areas as compared to the actual numbers of the general public. So you start to get this thing that's happening where, like, if 70% of your, or like even lowball it, let's say 50% of your audience can't recognize themselves on the screen anymore, that's going to have an effect on the bottom line potentially, because that's 50% of your potential audience. So I imagine the money people in Hollywood may throw the brakes on if they find that they just can't make any money, right? I don't know how this all plays out exactly, but it's something that I'm sure there are people in the halls of Hollywood who are thinking about all this stuff now.
One of those critics you mentioned earlier in our conversation was Bill Maher. What do you know about his reaction?
oh yeah, I stumbled across this reaction from Bill Maher, and Bill Maher, he thinks this is crazy too. Like, essentially, like I was saying earlier, this his idea is, hey, people just want to get the job because they're good at what they do, and all the rest of this stuff is kind of nonsense. So I, you know, it's very odd to be, you know, to for me personally to go, yeah, Bill Maher, I totally agree with him on that, because there's lots of things I don't agree with Bill Maher on, but I think he sees the foolishness of all of this. And he also kind of suggested that it's kind of desperate, you know, like here we are just weeks away from a, you know, in the States for you guys to have like an election, and this is something that's popping up. It's like, why even bother now? It seems to be a desperate ploy.
You say two things about these new standards. One, that they are a very safe move for Hollywood, and two, that they actually achieve the opposite of what they ostensibly intend to achieve. How is that?
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. Like, and I sent you guys some notes, so this is in the notes that I sent you. But yeah, like, this is very safe. I mean, they don't, like, as we demonstrated, they're already in their meritocracy, they're already favoring this stuff. So they're not really going to upset the establishment of Hollywood here very much. There may be some guys that will be kind of ticked about it because they don't fit in the category anymore. But I think the thing, and this is the second part of it, that what it actually does is it doesn't open the door for people to get involved, because we've demonstrated that people are involved, right? What it's doing is maybe it's shutting out or disqualifying certain directors and stories from being eligible for Best Picture. So it's doing the opposite. I think in some ways it disqualifies certain individuals and stories in favor of others. And if the idea is that they want to be more inclusive, this isn't the way to be more inclusive. This is like, you can't fight sexism with sexism. You know, you can't fight racism with racism. If you want to like tackle these major issues, you need to figure out ways to do it that don't just use the same playbook towards the people that you feel as though that they've been somehow oppressing you. Like, so this is where that very deep progressive, far, far into the left kind of idea of things starts to make life kind of complicated for some people in Hollywood. But it seems like it's more about disqualification than it's about making things more open. It may help in the production end of it and the distribution end of things more so, but even that area has a preponderance of people who just, you know, want to go and be a part of Hollywood. And I think you're going to find a higher concentration of people from all of these different areas that are listed in these standards already involved. Like, if you want to really dig hard deep into it all.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You can read his movie reviews on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Joy Pullman is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about critical race theory in public schools and how to get it out of the public schools. She's calling for some pretty radical change. We'll see what it is next. You could own an on-air light from the old Issues Etc. studio. We're conducting a silent auction. Proceeds go toward the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can place your bid for an on-air studio light by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, September 30th, and the winner on Friday, October 2nd.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee, is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at redeemernashville.org.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.